Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama, and we will begin on Daf Samech Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Samech Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. The pasuk says that when David HaMelech was holding battle with the Pelishtim, pasuk says, V'yisav David, David desired, who will bring me water from Beis Lechem, from the people in Beis Lechem that are by the gate? And obviously, the pasuk is speaking about, assumes the Gemara, that David HaMelech had a question regarding water. So the pasuk says, "Vivaku shloisha gebar memach the plishtim." The Mara is teaching us that David HaMelech had a question to ask the Sanhedrin. And what happened was, three of David HaMelech's soldiers, three of David HaMelech's emissaries, went to ask this question to the Sanhedrin. So, of course, asked the Gemara, what was David HaMelech's question? Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman. Of course, that's how we understand this Gemara. The question that he asked was, as we've been discussing many times, and when we speak about the Mazik of Eish, one of the most prominent halachas that come up when we speak about the Mazik of Eish is if what was damaged is not visible. And that was the question that he wanted to know, what is the halacha? We know the machlokes of Rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbanan said Tom Beish is potter or not. Ik Rabbi Yehuda is the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda that holds that you chay by Tom Beish. Ik Rabbanan is the halacha like Rabbanan say you potter by Tomin. And they answered, and we're not even quite certain what they answered, says the Gemara. Huna Amar, Rav Huna actually says it was a entirely different question that was asked. The pasuk says there, "Vaplus plistim nes v'sham l'mechama, v'ti chelkas asada melei sairim." That from here we see that David HaMelech was holding battle with the plistim in fields, and gedishim the Yisrael hayu. They were grain that belonged to Yisrael, that matamri plistim behu, in which the plistim were hiding, and mekambayle. And the question that David HaMelech had was, may somebody save himself with somebody else's money without their permission. Sholchalei, and they responded to him, also lahatzvah b'mam chaveri. Normally, one may not use somebody else's property to save themselves. Aval ato melech ato, you are a king. And the halacha is that a king is allowed to even dismantle anything that's in his way to make a path. King has that right. Nobody could stop. So Taisus says that the question here is because of pikuach nefesh. And certainly Taisus says, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Shin Nun Tes Sif Dalet, that there's no question that if the situation of pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to do whatever you need to do to save yourself. The question here was, if somebody is put into this situation and he has to take somebody else's property to save himself, does he have to repay? And the halach is actually that he does have to repay. There's a famous tshuva in the Shas Tshuva Igros Moshe, Choshe Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simon Samach Gimel, where the Ramosha Zatzal was asked by the Bava Rebbe Zatzal that during the war, the Bava Rebbe apparently borrowed tremendous sums of money in order to be able to save Jews. And now the question that he has is, he borrowed all that money for that purpose, and the question was, does he have to repay? Or can the argument be made that the money was borrowed in order to save Jews, and each one of us, each person that he borrowed the money from, has the obligation to participate in saving Jews, And that's why those people should have also had to lay out money and spend money to save Jews, and he shouldn't have to bear the cost of repaying them. And Rav Moshe says, based on the Gemara that we just learned, that the Gemara said that the Sanhedrin told David HaMelech, Melech Ata, you're a king, or Melech Peretz Geder. And a king has the right to do whatever he has to do. Seemingly, that anybody else, doesn't have that dispensation of being a Melech, and therefore the halacha is that he has to pay back. The interesting thing apparently happened was that not only did the Bava Rebbe pay back, and some people had lent the Rebbe Zatzal objects, not that money, and now they wanted an exorbitant assessment of what they had lent the Rebbe, as it was worth more than what they had, than what it was worth. And that Rav Moshe said that the Rebbe does not have to fall into that type of a extortion, and therefore that's why the halacha should pay only what it's truly worth. Continues the Gemara, Rabbanan, there's a third opinion, Vitem Rabbi Ben Mari, Amshikdishin Yisrael Hava, that this grain really were grain of barley that belonged to Klal Yisrael, or Gedishim the Adashim Plishtim, and there were grain of beans that belonged to the Plishtim. The Kamaboyle, and that the question that David HaMelech had, Ma'al Litin Gedishin Shal Yisrael, take away the barley, Ulitin Lefnai Behemtai, in order that David HaMelech's animals should have what to eat. Amnas l'shalem gedishim shosoyim de plishtim. He'll replace it with the lentils that will take that belong to the plishtim. Sholchle, so they respond to him, chavol yoshev rosha goizlov yishalmi, that taking something from somebody else without permission is considered gezeila. No matter what the situation is, you're not allowed to take something without permission. However, they told him, Aval ata melech ata, you are a king. And as we just learned, melech paris las lo derech, the king can do what he needs to do. Ve'ei mech miyadai, and nobody could stop him. So as we're learning now, our Gemara is teaching us that the loch of lehatz l'atzmoi b'mamon chaveray. The Shalos Tshuvos Beis Yehuda discusses a situation where somebody is in dire straits and he doesn't have any way to have support. Is he allowed to steal food in order, because of the situation, for a bikuach nefesh? So he makes an interesting observation. He says that even though in all situations the halacha is that for bikuach nefesh is overrides all the averus besides gilei raya, shfichas damim, and avodah zarah, he wants to suggest that that's not in a case like we're speaking now, which involves stealing something that belongs from somebody else. And maybe that stealing, he suggests, may be in the category of murder. And just like we're learning now, that murder is never, just of course, as we just said a moment ago, murder is never permissive. That would not be permissible either. It seems that if you're certainly going to pay back, and it's a pikuach nefesh, it seems that maybe it's mutter. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'man d'amar, according to this last opinion that we just learned, that the question that David HaMelech had was, l'chlufei, can he switch the lentils and the barley? Hanadiksiv chad kro, we can understand that in one pasuk over there it says, v'tisham chelkas asada melei adoshim, that the field was full of lentil. V'ksiv chad kro, and there's another pasuk that says, v'tei chelkas asada melei asayrim, it was full of barley. And that was exactly his question, can he make this switch? Elamand amma lemikli, the question was about burning it, because to save himself. So my boy Lel Hanitrei Kroy, how do we understand these two psukim? Answers the Gemara Amalach, the answer was There were both lentils of that belonged to Klal Yisrael that were hiding the Pelishtim. In other words, the question was, there were both types of grain over there. Says the Gemara, and that was the question of Tamun. Says the Gemara, if he's allowed to burn them, allowed to burn them. Bishlam leman damel mikli, hainu d'ksiv, that the question was, could he burn it to save himself? The pasuk says that David HaMelech stood there and saved it, and he didn't want to use somebody else's property to save himself. Eleman damel achlufi, the question is that he was just wanted to exchange it. My v'yatzila, what is the definition that he saved? Says the Gemara, the definition is the loy shavak lechlufi. He did not allow this exchange to take place. So bishlam ahanitarti, according to two pshatim that we just learned, whether to switch or whether to save himself, hanediksev trei kra. Now we can understand the two pesukim, one pasuk in Shmuel and one pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, that one was with barley and one was with lentil, because as one explanation we just gave was that there were two types of field, and the question was, by both types of field, he wanted to know if he's allowed to save himself with somebody else's money. And Tosfos explains what was the question, that maybe David HaMelech was saying, is there a difference when it comes to save yourself with somebody's money, if what you're saving yourself is something that's more valuable or less valuable? And the other explanation was that was he allowed to exchange them? So then, of course, Tosfos says with the psukim are very understandable, because he was going to make an exchange. You could only make an exchange if you have two different types of objects. El mandomer, but according to the mandomer that we're learning now, that tamen beish kamen boilei, that the question was the sugya of eish, and if something that's hidden, is it going to be chay for eish or not? Says the Gemara, my barley cry, what's the point of the psukim with the barley and the wheat and the lentils? Amlach, tamim v'chad mahanach kami barley. Indeed, this mandam is going to have to hold that David HaMelech had two questions. One question was the question of tamim that we're just learning, and the other question was the one of the other two opinions were also certainly a question that he had. Says my bishlam lemando mahanach tarti, the question about saving yourself or switching. Hanediksev, we could understand that when the pasuk says v'loy avadavel shtoisam, even though the pasuk, the Gemara said that he was told melech ato, your king, and a king parts together, you could do what you need to do. David HaMelech wanted to be scrupulous and did not want to do this. V'amar, they said, kivin de ikke isura, since what I'm doing involves iser, lo nichlei, I refuse to participate in anything that is involved in iser. Eleman damen tam be'esh kam be'olei, but according to the opinion that he was asking about tamin, michti, gemaru de shalchalei, that told him a psak halacha, that the psak halacha is that machloikus rabbanan Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, so what does it mean? Why did David HaMelech now want to follow? He asked a legitimate question, and why didn't he want to eat it? So here, the question, the Gemara comes up with a new concept. The Gemara's concept is Kivendiki Sura, and what was involved here was Isser. David HaMelech said, if it's Isser, I don't want to participate. So the Chushukei Chemed discusses an interesting episode. He said there was somebody flying on a plane, and as he was flying on the plane, he had ordered a kosher meal, but the somehow his kosher meal never arrived. There was another passenger on the plane who was not a religious Jew, and he had ordered a kosher meal. See what happened, since kosher meal is not that important to him, he took a non-kosher meal, ate it, and told the stewardess to serve this passenger, this religious passenger who only wanted a kosher meal, to serve him the kosher meal. The religious passenger saw what happened, and he didn't want to eat the kosher meal. He said, the reason I'm getting this kosher meal is because the other Jewish person ate the non-kosher meal. And he says, what David HaMelech says in our Gemara, Kivin de Iki Isura Lo Nichel Lai. I don't want to do anything that I'm going to have benefit from here based on somebody doing something, somebody else having done something wrong. So the Cheshukei Chemet says that he has a strong reason to do so. He says, if in our Gemara, if we think about our Gemara, the Gemara says that David HaMelech, the Sanhedrin, sent them a message that you're allowed to take what you're taking. Melech Atah, or Melech Paris Legeder. So certainly you had a right to go take the exchange or whatever the situation was. Yet David HaMelech's approach was, I won't do so. So this person that was going to eat this kosher meal, which came to him because somebody ate something which is really not kosher, that objection is very understandable. So says the Gemara. So again, the Gemara's question is, if all David HaMelech wanted to know was, what is the halacha? What does it mean, v'loy ovid David l'shtoysom? Says the Gemara, d'loy amrinu mishmayu. What he wanted to say was, I don't want that this halacha should be said over in their name. Omar, because David HaMelech said, kach mekablani mebeis dina sheshmol ha-ramasi. This is something that I learned from the Beis Din Shmuel HaRasi. Kol ha-mois ha-atma lomos al-divar ha-tayra. So the posh pshat in the Gemara is that they went to ask this question, even though it involved putting yourself into danger. And David HaMelech said they had no right to do so, and since they did something that they shouldn't have done, that's why they shouldn't be said in their name. And the Mashal expands on this. The Mashal says that we know the Chazal teach us, Kol Oyma Dover B'Shem Omri, whoever says something over in the name of somebody who said that Dvar Locha, Mevi Gula Olam, he brings Gula to the world. But now, somebody who went to a place which is Sakonis Nefashis is not the person that through him there should be a Gula to Klal Yisrael. And even though there's a rule, says the Mashal, that we know the shluchim mitzvah in the zaykin. Somebody goes to do a mitzvah, doesn't suffer, but b'makom shchicha zaykin, a place where there's real danger, that halacha doesn't apply. They shouldn't have gone, and therefore they're that deserving to bring the gula to the world. The Ben Yoyada says that the reason ain't I'm dvar in the name of this person is because why is the halacha that kol I'm a dvar shem imrei svasos dovois bekever? So says the Ben Yoyada, what that means is that somebody says over halacha for somebody who's not here anymore, it's as if that person is still alive. But says the Ben Yoyada, why would somebody be alive? We want to be alive. We want to remain alive in this world. But somebody who goes into Sakonas Nefashis in a time and a place that he shouldn't have, then he doesn't want it. He's showing that life is not important to him. And by him showing that life is not important to him, he doesn't deserve that Tzfasasais Daivavais Bekever. Another pshat that many say is that somebody who shows such Mesiris Nefesh for Torah, I saw the Chedushei Rum says this pshat, and others say this pshat. Somebody who shows such mesiris nefesh for Torah, it's just the opposite. He becomes a piece of the Torah. In other words, we learn Torah, and Torah is a very, very important part of our lives. But as much as we learn Torah, and Torah being a very important part of our lives, we are who we are, and the Torah is the Torah. But somebody who goes so far to teach Torah, to learn Torah, that he's mice and nefesh for Torah, the halacha is he becomes a part of the Torah, and therefore there's no need to mention his name, because he is the Torah itself. And I saw a fact that the Mefarshim suggest that we know that many times in Mishnayos we have opinions that are not, the name of the person who has that opinion is not stated at all, or even if his name is stated, it just says the Chachamim Aimrim, but we don't know which of the Chachamim is said. Why? Don't those people deserve that their name should be mentioned in the Mishnayos, that this is the person who said this opinion? But according to the Chiddush Arim, it's very understandable. Because those people who are, the halacha follows those people, are the Torah itself. It's not that they have an independent existence, but rather they become, as they say, a shtick Torah. And because they become a shtick Torah, there is no reason to mention their name separately. The pasuk says, "V'yasach oisam la'Hashem." Continues the pasuk saying, "says the Gemara, Bishlam alam and amahani tarti." Both the opinion that he wanted to switch the tefuah, or the opinion that he wanted to save with the tefuah, says the Gemara. So we say, understand the pasuk, "V'yasach oisam la'Hashem," that he went l'shem shemayim. Mishum Dava l'shem shemayim. Dava went the extra mile to not use them. He didn't want to rely on the heter that he's Dava HaMelech. But, asked the Gemara, Eleman da Amar, Tam Be'esh, Vav V'yosach Oysom L'Hashem. What does it say, V'yosach Oysom L'Hashem? Says the Gemara, Damina Mishma the Gemara. Dava HaMelech said this halacha in the name without attributing it to anybody, and as we just learned why, actually two different pshatim, two different approaches, but the both approaches represent that he didn't want to mention the name, and said V'yosach Oysel Hashem, he only mentioned Hashem's name, the halacha was mentioned, but what was not mentioned was who is the person that said that particular halacha. Says the Mishnah, Over Gedishu Gavaya Abba Amos, if now the fire spread over a fence that's Dalar Amos tall, Oy Derech Rabim, or the fire spread a road which is 16 Amos wide, as Rashi explains, we know that roads are typically 16 Amos wide from the roads that we discuss in Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos speaks about a Rishus Rabim, and from there we know that a road is typically 16 Amos wide, or the fire spread over a river, and all these cases potter. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, but ask the Gemara we learned in the Braisa, Over Gedishu Gavoya Abba Amos, if the fire passed a fence that's Dalar Amos tall, Chayiv, you will be held responsible. Amra Papa, says the Gemara, the Braisa and the Mishnah are not disagreeing. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. They're just looking at this situation from two different perspectives. Tana didon kachosha mamala mamata. Our Tana of the Mishnah is looking at it from top to bottom. Shesh amos, if the fence is 6 amos tall, potter. Chamish amos, potter. If it's 5 amos tall, he's potter. Ad arba amos, until the fence is up to 4 amos, he'll be potter. With Tana barah, whereas the Tana of the Braisa is looking at it from the other perspective. Mamata mamal kachoshev. He's looking from bottom up. Shtei amas chayiv. If the fence is only 2 amas tall, you'll be chayiv. Shalosh amas chayiv. 3 amas, you'll be chayiv. Ad arba amas, until 4 amas, you chayiv. And Rashi explains that the machlokes essentially here is, do we say ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loy ad b'chlal? Is the 4 amos chayiv or not? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Arba Amos Sha'amru, the potter. When we speak about Arba Amos, that there's a wall separating the fire of Arba Amos, then you'll be potter. Says the Gemara, Afilu b'stei koitzim. Even if it went through a field of thorns, and again, the simple shot in the Gemara is that since it's a field of thorns, it's very flammable, and therefore the fence should not be considered an adequate barrier. Amar Papa, If from the top of the thorns there are arba amis, so then that's considered that arba amis that are on top of the thorns will serve as a proper mechitza. Amra Rav, loishanu, furthermore, when is this said that when there's a gate, fence in between, that it's considered a barrier? Ella bekalachas, when the fire is going straight up. Avol benechfefes, if the fire is spreading, afila ad mea ama, even if the fence is very tall, it wouldn't help you. Chayiv, 100 amas tall. Our Mishnah speaking about a fire that is low and spreading. The Eish Nechfefes, Abba Kalachas, if it's a fire that's just shooting up, he says, then any fence, a field koshu, even the slightest fence would be considered adequate. A filu Abba Kalachas, koshu potter, it would be considered potter. This is the first pshat that Rashi suggests. There's another pshat. He says that when a fire is slow and spreading, then the halach is that it could go further. And says Rashi, Rav and Shmuel are not referring to the fence in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking the fire that this part of the Gemara and the second pshat that Rashi suggests is referring to the case that the Mishnah said when there's a road in between the fire. And we explained that the road we speak about here is a 16 amma wide road. And here we have the Machloikus Rav and Shmuel. The Rav says that even though the Mishnah said that if you have a road that's 16 ammas wide, that you will not be chayav for the fire. For that says Rashi, so that says the Gemara, says Rav, that's only be'esh ha-kalachas. But be'esh ha-nechfefes, the 16 amma wide road won't be considered an adequate barrier. And Shmuel says that even in that case, it will be considered an adequate barrier. Tanya kavosid Rav, says the Gemara, there's a brisa that supports Rav's understanding. B'medva mamurim, when is it considered an adequate barrier? Be'kalachas abba b'nechfefes, the fire is low, it's a type of fire that spreads, and it's also on a type, and it is pieces of wood that could help carry the wood, to carry the fire further. Then, says the Gemara, fil ad mei mil, this is supportive of the second pshat that Rashi says, because here we see that it depends on the how much space there is in the tank. And therefore, fila mea mil, even if there's an empty space of mea mil, chayiv. Over nor shalulus shem rechav mishmoina amas. But if they pass a place where there's water and they're 8 amas wide, even this brisa will agree that you'll be chayiv. Says the Gemara, derech harabim. If the fire passed the Derech HaRabim, you will be potter. Says the Gemara, Man Tana. Ask the Gemara, who's the Tana that holds this opinion? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rebbe Lezahi. This represents the opinion of Rebbe Lezah. The Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, Rebbe Lezah Omer, Sheish Es Amos, Kederech Rosh HaRabim. When the fire passes a road that's 16 Amos wide, the shear of Rosh HaRabim, Rebbe Lezah holds your potter, Rabbi Kiva, and that says that you need to have 50 amas, and Rabbi Shimon says that there is no specific shear. You always have to look at every fire according to that type of fire. And here we're paskening that, and this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, and the Rashba makes an interesting point. So we have a case here that we speak about in Shas of Stam. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that all you have to think about is that the only consideration is a Derech HaRabim, whereas next Mishnah, that Mishnah we're discussing, gives a Machloikus of three different opinions. So we see here, says the says Rashba, that this is a case that first we have a Stam Mishnah and then we have a Machloikus. Einar, we learned further, if there's a river, then you're potter. If there's a river by the fire, you'll be potter. Rav Amar, Nor Mamish. When the Mishnah says river, it means an actual river. The Shmuel Amar, it says the opinion of Shmuel is, Barisa Daloi. It's a small body of water that they used to take water for irrigation from that small body of water. That is considered a adequate separation. Says the Gemara, Mandam and Nor Mamish, Rav, who said a river, his opinion is Afgav de Lekamaya. Even though there's no water there, as long as there's a river, there was a river, and the river has the adequate width to be considered a proper barrier, that's enough. Mandam Arisa Deloi, but the opinion, Shmuel's opinion is that it's a water pit, so he will hold that it's only considered adequate barrier, Iisba Maya, if there's actually water there, Avalesba Maya, if there isn't actually water there, Loi, then there wouldn't be considered an adequate barrier. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, we know that the halacha is that when somebody has a field, he has to leave peya. And the question is, from every field, you have to leave peya separately. And the question is, if there's something dividing the field, what will that be? At what point will it be considered two separate feeds? Says the Mishnah, the Masech de Peya, Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph, Vela Masikin Peya. These serve as a separation to make the fields be considered separate fields. Hanachav Ashlulis, V'derech HaYochid, HaDerech HaYochid is 4 amos wide. V'derech HaRabim is 16 amos wide. Ask the Gemara, my Shlulis, what is the definition of a Shlulis? Amri Yudah Mishmul, Mokam Shmei Gishamim Shoylim, a place where rainwater gathers. Rabibi Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Amas HaMayim, Shemachlekes Shlola Gafel. The definition is that it's a canal of water that spreads its water, an irrigation canal that spreads its water to the sides. Says the Gemara, Manda Amar, Mokum Shmei Gisham Shalom Sham. The one that says that it's just a place where rainwater gathers, Koshkein, then certainly an Amas Amayim, an actual water canal, will separate the field into two. Manda Amas Amayim, the only a water canal could separate. If you just have a place where rainwater gathers because there was a heavy rain, says the Gemara, that's only considered a gathering of water, a puddle, I guess we would call it. And the Shita Mekabetzis suggests that even though our Gemara is speaking about Eish, and the Gemara sort of connected these two halachas, what is considered a separation for fire and what is considered a separation for Peya, the Shita Mekabetzis says that it's not necessarily the same. That it could be that the two halachas don't necessarily travel together. The Yamsha Shloima, however, does say that since it makes sense that these two machloikas travel together, and the fact that the Gemara combined them is very much an indication that whatever is the halacha by Peya will be the halacha by Eish as well. Says the Mishnah, Hamadlik B'toich Shloi, if somebody lit a fire in his own property, Ad Kama Tavar, how much does the fire have to spread that the person who made the fire should be held responsible? And Rashi points out, based on what we learned on Amar Aleph, that it will depend, according to Shmuel, if it's kolachas or nechfefes, if it's a fire that is shooting up or it's spreading. Because Shmuel said, a fire that spreads, you're always chayiv. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Roy Noisir Kilim Beis Kor, we look at the fire as if it's in the middle of an area which is a base car. The size of a base car is an area of 274 amma by 274 amma, and anything that the fire spreads within that area, you shall be held responsible. But if it goes past that, you're not going to be held responsible. Rabbi Lazoimer, as we just said, that the shear is Tezayin Amma, 16 Amas, as was the shear that we spoke about by Hilchos Shabbos, Derech Rishus Rabbim, and Rekiv Aimer, the shear is Chamishim Amma, Rabbi Shimon Aimer, Shalom Yishalom Amavet Sabeira, Hakol Fi Adeleka. We have to look at the fire. Of course, the Rosh points out that everything that we're discussing here is when somebody put a fire in his own property. So there, the Mishnah is discussing that if you made a fire in your own property, at what point are you going to be held responsible, and at what point will you not be held responsible? But if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, made a fire in somebody else's property, so he had no right to make a fire in somebody else's property, and therefore, under those circumstances, he will be held responsible under all circumstances. Because, explains the Parisha, that he could say to the person in whose property made a fire, he says, why are you making fires on my property? And therefore, as the Michas Chinuch says, you had no right to make this fire. And since you had no right to make this fire, you're going to be held responsible for whatever this fire does. Ask the Gemara, V'lesle Rav Shimon Shir B'dleika. So Rav Shimon was not willing to give a hard and fast shear. Ask the Gemara, V'lesle Rav Shimon Shir B'dleika. Does Rav Shimon not hold that there is a shear? For Tanan, the Mishnah says, in Masech the Bava Basra Dov Chaf on my base, the Layamid Adam Tan V'toich HaBayis, a person's not allowed to put a furnace in his home, Elm Kein Yesh Al Gaba Goiva Arba Amis, unless there's a distance of 4 amis from the top of the oven to the ceiling, so the fire from the furnace should not be able to hit the ceiling. And if somebody is living in a 2-story home and he's putting a furnace in the upper story, he could only put a furnace there, Ache Tachtov, unless there is under that furnace a floor that Maziva Shlir Shetfachim, that the floor, the ceiling, which is the ceiling of the bottom floor, will be 3 tefachim thick. That will be a firm base, and also it's concrete that prevents the fire from spreading. Kira, if somebody wants to put a kira, which as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, is a smaller sized furnace than a tanner, there the floor only has to be a tefach. In Hizik, but the Braisa says, if then the furnace does damage, Mishalom HaShahizik, he should be held responsible. Shimon Aimer, Leinem Rishurim Alalu, that the purpose of these shurim is to teach Shimon HaShahizik that if they cause damage, Patam HaShalom, you're not going to be held responsible. But we see from here that Rav Shimon very much holds that you have an obligation that they are shurim. So why is our Mishnah saying that there's no shurim? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Hakol Fi Goyva Adeleika. Because Rav Shimon means to say that we have to, that not that he says there's no shurim. He says we can't firm up a specific shear. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halach Rav Shimon, so is the Halacha. The Ken Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, the Halacha is Rav Shimon, that every fire has to be analyzed individually to make the determination what is the chiv. Hamalik Sagodish, if somebody lit the grain, for Hayubai Kalim Adalku, and there were Kalim there, and they put on fire, he's chayiv. This is the machloikis that we often discuss. This is the machloikis of Tomin. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you chayiv for Tomin. So even though you didn't see those kalim that are hidden in that fire, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Shimon said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're going to be held responsible. The Chum Aimrim, and the Chum's opinion is, Eim Shalom Ella God Shal Chitin Moshal Soirim, you're going to be chayiv for that grain, but you're not going to be chayiv for anything that is Tomin. Says says the Nemukei Yosef, that even though Chacham just said that you're going to be potter for Tamim, still, the space within that Godish where the Kalim are, which the Chacham hold, you're not Chayiv, because they are Tamim, but for that space, you have to look at that space according to Rabbi Hud, to the Rabbanan, as if it was full of wheat, or whatever this stack looks like, and pay for that value. So, it seems, according to the Mike Nemukei Yosef, if the person was, that the reason the Nemukei Yosef seems to be saying, the Rabbanan hold your potter on Taman, is because the person who made the fire can legitimately say, I thought that this whole stack was just wheat. So if it means that he knew that there was something concealed on there, he would be chayiv. So how do we understand that Nemukei Yosef, particularly as when we've learned the halacha of Taman, we say that Taman, we've always learned that Taman, you're always potter, whether you knew or not. So therefore, that those that say that if that your potter on Taman, even if you knew about the Taman, if only if you did something to save the fire, to stop the fire from spreading. But if you knew that this object was in there and it was Taman in there and you didn't do anything to protect it, even the Chacham hold that you're Chayiv. The Pnei Yeshua says that the way to understand the Nemukei Yosef is a much more simple way. And that is, yes, the Rabbanan hold that you're potter by Taman. But the question is, when the Rabbanan say that you're potter by Taman, what does Taman mean? Does it mean that it's completely concealed or partially concealed? And it could be that if it's completely concealed, says the Pnei Yeshua, the Rabbanan will hold that you're always potter. If it's partially concealed, so then it depends. If the person who made the fire saw it and it's not completely concealed, he'll be chayiv. If he didn't see it and it's not completely concealed, if he saw it and it's not completely concealed, he'll be chayiv. If he didn't see it and it's partially concealed, he'll be potter. Says the Mishnah Yigdi Kofas Law. If there was a goat tied to that grain, or evet samachloi, or there was a Evid right next to the fire, for Nisrafimoy Chayiv, and the goat got burnt, and the Evid got burnt, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv on the Godish, on the grain, he'll be Chayiv for the goat, but for the Evid, he won't be Chayiv. Because as we're going to learn, for the goat, the Evid should have had the intelligence to run away. And if he didn't run away, then the person will not be Chayiv. However, therefore, continues the Mishnah, Eved Kofasloi, if the Eved was tied to that Kodesh, and the Gedi was Samachloi, the Nisrafimoi, Potter. He's going to be Potter for the fire that burnt the Gedi and the Kodesh, because here we apply the concept of Kimlei B'derabmanei. Since he's going to be Chayiv for the death of the Eved, so we know that halacha is that whenever somebody does an aveira that comes with two punishments, misa or mamon, we give him the more significant punishment, kimlei b'derabmanei. And since he killed an eved for which there comes a chiv misa, then the halacha is that he'll be potter for the gdi and the gadish that did get burnt. And the Rishonim point that the halacha is that even if Hasra wasn't given, so the person who lit the fire will not actually be put to death, it doesn't make a difference. Because Chayv Misa Shoyigim, if somebody did an Aveira, for which could carry under certain circumstances a Chiv Misa, even if in this situation, well, with this particular situation, there wouldn't be Chiv Misa, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's an Aveira that comes with Misa, he'll be Potter. So the Rishonim trying to understand what is the connection between this din that we're learning now and the previous din of Taman Beish. So they say that the reason, or maybe the underlying reason, where the Chacham hold that you're not Chayiv by Taman Beish is because it's ein darkoi. People normally don't conceal items in their grain. And here too, this case is highly unusual that somebody is tying his goat or his eved to the grain, and therefore they should be considered unusual and not be chayiv. That's why we're learning that you're still chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana. Says the Gemara, Maidim Chacham L'Rabbi Yehuda. Melcham Maidim L'Rabbi Yehuda. The Madlik Sabira. If somebody put on fire a big home, Shumashalm Kamash B'Toychai, then there is no heter of Taman, because people leave all sorts of objects in the home, and she came Derek Bnei Adam L'Nif B'Batim, and that will not be considered a case of Taman. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana Machloikis, B'Madlik B'Toych Shaloi. The machloikis that we're discussing, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, about Taman, is only when you made a fire in your property, and it spread to somebody else's property. Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv aniski tam beish. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you chayiv for Taman, for Rabbanan patri. However, says the Gemara, av a madlik b'toich shel chaveroi, if you lit a fire in somebody else's property, divra hako mishalim amasha b'toichoi, that everybody will agree, you chayiv for Taman. Amalei Rava, says Rava, ihachi, if that what you just said is correct, ad tani sefer, as we continue learning the Mishnah said, Maidu Chacham Rabbi Yehuda, the Malikus Meira, Shemisham Komash Betoichai, that when you put a home on fire, you're going to be chai for all the contents. Shekain derech b'nei Adam l'nich b'batim, people leave things in their home. Why did the Mishnah have to come up with that case? The Mishnah could have said even a bigger chiddush, lifting the listener with the door, the medva mamurim. When do we have the machloikus of Yehudin, the chacham regarding Taman, the madlik b'toich shloi, for hal chavachol b'toich shel chaveroi, ava matagli b'toich chaveroi. If you put on a fire in somebody else's property, l'divrei hakol mishalom kol mashay b'toichoi, then you'll be responsible. Why didn't the Mishnah you say that distinction? El amarava. Because of this, says Rava, we have to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, the Betarti Pligi. They're arguing about two subjects. Madlik b'toich shaloi, v'och v'och b'toich shal chaveri. If somebody made a fire in his own property and it spread into somebody else's property, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev atam be'ish, v'rabbanon savri lo mechayev. And now, there's another machlokes. V'pligi nami b'chesh shal chaveri. You've lit a fire on somebody else's stack of grain. Rabbi Yehuda saw a mishalm kamash b'toychai, a filo arniki. Even there was a wallet in that grain, which people, of course, normally don't leave wallets in their grain. Rabbanan saw. Rabbanan's opinion is kelim shadakan lahatam b'daygush. God is types of that tools that people leave in their grain. Kigoyin marigin ukli bakar huda mishalim, because he should have expected that those kalim are in the grain. However, kalim ain't tarkan latin be godish, kalim that people normally don't put in their grain, for them, loy mishalim, you will not be held responsible.